Good morning, y'all. Thankful to be here again this morning. See each one of you. Appreciate each one of you. Appreciate your service. Your faithfulness to the Lord for being here today to serve Him and show our Lord reverence and thanksgiving, praise, it's due Him. I appreciate the cross this morning. I value the Sunday school and the comments that were made, and so thankful today that the Lord, way back when He willingly hung on that cross, was able to look way down through the ages of time to today when we live, and He's still calling our names. He's still searching for hearts that are willing to allow His blood cover our sins, that we might be saved and have eternal life. I'm so thankful for that today. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to live and presume upon the grace of God, but I want to praise Him with the conduct of my life. Have a message this morning I'd like to share. I'll write the subject on the board. I'm going to write one word. Written the word service on the board. I'm inspired today with the 100th Psalm. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to read it. Psalms 101 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations," all the way down to where we are today. His truth, His mercy, His goodness extends all the way down to us. Even today, this is such a beautiful, inspiring, instructive passage. It said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." What kind of noise are you making this morning? You thought about that? What kind of sound is emanating from your life? Did you know that there's a noise coming from each one of us? There's a sound. There's a story. There's something that's emanating. A song, if you will. Not all songs are good songs. But there's noise that's coming from us, and it is being heard by the God of all creation. What kind of sound, what kind of noise is the Lord hearing from your life? I want to... I want the noise that comes from my life. I don't want the Lord to say, would somebody shut that down just a little bit? Could they be a little bit quieter over there? It's not pleasing. Could somebody see if they couldn't put some melody to that noise? Make it sound a little more pleasing. I want the Lord to be pleased with what He hears from my life. I'm particularly challenged this morning to focus on the second verse. It said, serve the Lord with gladness. And there's a whole lot packed into this verse, and we won't get to it all this morning. Maybe, Lord willing, we can continue on a different time with some of it. But this morning, I'm challenged with service, with what it means to serve. When I was growing up, and I think I have this right, I remember my dad telling a story, and I believe it was Sister Opal Wilson. Now, I could be mistaken. I think it was Sister Opal Wilson, which was Brother Austis Wilson's first wife. And I believe the story went that she got up at Monarch one service, stood up and looked out before the congregation and said, I want to be great. You know, public speakers, those that coach public speaking, talk about attention getters. You know, that had been an attention getter. Somebody like Sister Opal to get up and say, look out over the congregation and say, I want to be great. But what she followed it up with, it is not to this day a real popular way of life. She went on to quote or read the scripture in the 23rd chapter of Matthew that said, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Do you want to be great? You want to be great this morning? Be willing to serve. Do you want to be great in the eyes of God? I know we're not trying to lift ourselves up, but in this is the Lord said this. I'm just quoting scripture. Jesus said this. Whosoever will be great will be your servant. Who do we serve today? Do we serve ourselves? Do we serve the world? Do we serve other people? Do we serve God? Maybe a little bit of all of it. But I believe that this verse succinctly sums up so much. Kathy and I have talked recently. Have you ever noticed that the Lord is able to say so much in so few words? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, the Lord can tell you so much with just two or three words. And then it would be some good instruction and example for some of us to observe and practice. You don't always have to have a whole lot of words. And the Lord said so much through the psalmist here when he said, serve the Lord with gladness. Because it's outlining what our purpose in life is. It's service. Number one. Service to who? Service to God. Well, how should we serve? Serve with gladness. There's so much that is right here to be had. And a servant in the true sense of the word necessarily means that you're accommodating somebody else's needs and wants as opposed to your own. I mean, when you say you're a servant, people typically don't think you're talking about, well, what do you do? I'm a servant. Oh, well, who do you serve? They're not usually thinking, I'm a servant for myself. I mean, that happens.
But a servant is somebody who's in the business, if I can say it that way, of serving somebody else's needs and wants and desires. I was thinking a little bit about a wedding. We've all been to weddings, haven't we? Do you know it's an honor to be asked to be in it, to serve in a wedding? That's an honor. Hey, I'm part of I was asked to be in the wedding. I was asked to serve in the wedding. Maybe you're a groomsman, maybe you're a bridesmaid, maybe you're the best man, maybe you are asked to be the maid of honor. Maybe you are asked to usher the people in and be the ones that stand back there and get everybody seated in this grand occasion. That's a special occasion. Maybe you've been asked to help serve at the reception. But maybe you've been asked to serve in the wedding in an occasion that's bigger than you are. Not about you. It's not about you. It's the wedding that has to do with the bride and the groom. It's about something way bigger than you are. But it's an honor. It's an honor to be asked to serve. But how about this? What if the bridesmaid, after they agreed to serve in the wedding, said, "You know what? I get that you want all the girls to wear. I'll probably get into trouble here. I don't know, peach, green, blue, black. But you know, I really like a floral design. That's what I like." And y'all can wear that, that's good, but I just think I look best in a floral, and that's what I'm going to wear. And what if the usher said, "You know, I'm happy to serve in your wedding. I like serving, and I feel that it's an honor that you asked me. But you know, I think it'd be better if I seated some of these folks, maybe arrange them just a little bit differently than what you asked me to. I think it'd work better that way. I just like it better that way. It'd be good." And somebody else says, "Oh, thank you for asking me to serve it, to be in your wedding. I feel so honored by it." And so you say it's at 5:00. Thank you. I want to be part of it. Now I'm going to be there at 5:30 because my schedule is just, you know, I got some other things going on. And I'm so glad you asked me to serve. And yes, I agree to serve. I'll be there at 5:30. You see where this is going? We got trouble brewing. I get that you want to serve, you know, barbecue out there, but I'm really partial to chicken. And I know somebody that makes the best chicken you've ever had before. And when you taste it, you will agree with me that it was good for me to bring chicken instead of barbecue, and I replaced the tray in there. But thank you for asking me to serve. We got a real problem. It's not about the individual's desires and wants. It's an honor to be asked to serve, to be in the wedding. But it's not for you to decide how you're going to change it all up. If you are agreeable to serve and you're going to be there and enjoy the benefits of being part of the wedding party, I mean, it's an honor to be part of the wedding party, isn't it? It's an honor. There's some sacrifice. You had to change your schedule. Maybe you would have been somewhere else. Maybe you're sitting somewhere different or standing somewhere different, what you like. But it's an honor to be at the wedding. And you are asked to serve. And it doesn't work to come and bring all of your thoughts and your wishes because that's what you like. You just lost sight. You just lost sight of the whole plan. See, there was a plan where everybody had their part.
so that if everybody did what they were supposed to do according to the plan, then this wonderful ceremony could take place and everybody could feel their part just like was intended and everybody could enjoy the wedding. But you start deviating from that, and it's not just about you, and it doesn't just affect you. It affects the next person. You just threw off the person over here. They didn't expect you to come walking down the aisle at that time. They didn't expect you to show up late. Now what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to come in after you, and you haven't showed up yet. But you got it so it's going to suit you. And then it just throws the whole thing out of kilter. We all know where I'm going with this. We have been invited to serve in the most precious wedding party that ever took place. Jesus Christ and His bride, the church, and He asks us, Will you be my bride? Will you be part of my church? Will you serve? Will you serve in my wedding? Jesus Christ wants us to serve in His wedding with the church. And it doesn't work to come to serve on my terms. Do you remember the Passover? The Passover supper. The blood that was put on the door. You remember they put the blood. They killed the lamb that was representative of Jesus Christ. And they took His blood and they put it on either side of the doorpost and up above. But did you notice they didn't put it on the threshold? I remember Brother Austus Wilson, he preached one time and he said the blood was put on the sides and it was put over the top. It wasn't put on the bottom for us to walk through His blood and trample across the top of His blood and just track it wherever we want to track it. The blood was put on the sides and over the top that we might pass through the blood, not trample over the blood and do it all our own way and track it all over the place, just however we want. But the precious blood of Jesus was shed that we might pass through the blood. To be a beneficiary of the church of God. To be part of His bride and to fill our place in service that He would be pleased with and glorified by. And that we would be willing to partake of whatever it was that He had for us to partake of. The lamb that was killed and was prepared at the Passover. The instructions were that they could just eat the best parts of it. The instructions were that He eat the whole thing. Eat, partake of the whole lamb. Don't let any of it be left over. Eat all of it. But partake of all of it. Don't just leave the parts you don't like off to the side. You know, there's parts of the lamb that don't taste as good as the other parts. Some parts are more desirable to eat. And there's some of them you just soon leave alone. But it wouldn't have worked if they would have said, "Well, we'll eat the lamb, but these parts over here, they don't taste as good. I think we're just going to leave them off to the side." It wouldn't have worked. They would have died. They would have lost their lives. Folks, in service to the Lord, there are things that the Lord bids us to do as part of His overall plan that don't always taste good. They don't always feel good. That's not always what we would just raise our hand and say, "Oh, choose me. I'd like to partake. I'd like to eat that. I'd like that to be something that I swallow down." No, sometimes there's things that don't taste very good. But listen, if we'll be willing, Oh, to pass through the blood and to be saved by Jesus Christ and not presume upon His mercy by just stepping over and having this attitude that, well, He'd shed His blood and I can't live good enough anyway. And just live, sin you will, sin you must, thank the Lord for the cross and just stomp over the blood. No, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live in sin any longer? But He's got a plan for us. If we fail, thank the Lord, He's our intercessor. He's there to forgive us, to pick us up when we humble ourselves down. But He's looking for a people that are willing to partake of the whole thing. He's looking for a people that are willing to pass through His blood and reverence it and appreciate it and thank Him for it. And go in and be willing partakers of the whole lamb, the whole Passover lamb. I want to do that. I don't want to show up at the wedding on my own terms. It didn't work out for the man at the wedding without his wedding garment. You remember that story that Jesus told? He was speechless. Well, what could you say? What could he say? You stand before God and the Lord said, you came to the wedding. He didn't have to come to the wedding. But he said, oh, I'll come to the wedding. I'll serve. I'll be there. I want to participate. Count me in. I just don't want to wear the wedding garment. I just rather not serve like that. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I got my reasons. We all have our reasons. But when it came down to it and he faced God, faced the judge and the Lord looked at him and said, oh, friend, where's your wedding garment? He's speechless. What are you going to say? It doesn't have to be that way. Oh, the Lord made provision for us that He provides the wedding garment. We just have to be willing to put it on. We have to be willing to eat what He puts before us. And if we will, if we'll pass through the blood, if we'll eat the whole Passover lamb, we will be saved. We'll be blessed. Canaan is in our sights. That happened so that they could go and experience the land of Canaan. Do you want to experience the land of milk and honey? Be willing to eat the Passover lamb. You can't go into the land of Canaan if you just want to serve on your own term. You don't want to eat that. You don't want to go there. You don't want to look like that. I want to do it my way, but I still want to be called a servant of God. You can't get to the Canaan land that way. God wants us to experience the Canaan land. The Lord wants us to experience the milk and the honey and He wants us to experience the walls that come down in our lives that keep us from these cities that He wants us to be able to enter into and experience victories in our life. But to get there, we have to be willing to serve as the Lord asks us to serve. Just because He wants to be boss and you just do what I say, just because I'm bigger than you are. No, it's because He loves you and He cares about you and He wants the Canaan land for you and He sees things that I don't see. He sees things that you don't see. And He wants good things for us. He wants us to experience the best that life has to offer. I have come that ye might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The Lord has good thoughts towards us. I have good thoughts towards you. Not evil thoughts, but I got a plan for you. I got good thoughts for you. And you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. He's not looking for a halfway service. He's not looking for somebody to say, yeah, I'll serve, but you don't know if they're going to show up. You don't know what color of garment they're going to wear. You don't know what they're going to serve for the food. You don't know where they're going to stand and show. He's looking for a people that are willing to say, here am I, send me, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to know what it is that you want me to do with my life. Lord, by the grace of God, I may not be there today, but I want to get there by your help and your grace. And He will help us get there.
Yes, we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to understand as we should understand just right now today. But He'll be merciful to us if we'll open our ears, if we'll lift up our hands, if we'll say, Lord, please choose me. The Lord will be merciful to get us to the Canaan land. He'll help us to get there. Service is foundational to the gospel message, folks. That's our part. Jesus paid the price. Jesus has the power. Jesus has the grace. Jesus has the plan. The Lord is there to lead us. Our part is to serve. Our part is to say, yes, Lord. That's our part. And if we will, He'll lead us to wonderful places. Is it always convenient and easy? No. It's not. One reason is because we are so apt. We're so apt to serve ourselves. We're made up in a way that we can be selfish. We're so apt to make decisions that make me happy and that really focuses in on me. And the other thing is the Lord, He makes it optional. He's not forcing you to serve. There's people that they're forced to serve. The Lord's not forcing us to serve. He's making it optional. And because it's optional, it's easy for us to deprioritize the service of the Lord and to prioritize other things that get in the way of us fulfilling what the Lord would have us to do. We have been called to serve, not 8 to 5, not Monday through Friday, not 2 days a week. The Lord's calling us to serve full time. He's looking for us to accept and to enter in the wonderful invitation to be part of the Bride of Christ. And until we get to the place where we're willing to humble ourselves before the cross, we get to the place where we realize it's not all about me. We get to the place where we realize, Lord, You are the Creator and I'm the created. Lord, would You have mercy on me? Lord, I'm willing to go all the way. Lord, I'm willing to serve. Till we can get to that place, we're never going to be able to wholly serve like God wants us to. The Scripture says, you can't serve God and mammon. It doesn't work. You're going to gravitate towards one or the other. You're going to be confused or you're not going to do a good job on either one of them. Look, I know there's a level of service that we have for ourselves. I'm not trying to preach something that's outside of what God intended. There's things we have to do for ourselves. God set it up that way too. We take care of ourselves. We provide for our families. We get up in the morning. We go do things. We go do things that we enjoy and that we find fulfillment in. And we're responsible stewards as we plan ahead in this temporal life. I'm talking about temporal things now. The Lord wants us to do that. He wants us to be dependable stewards of what He gives us in the temporal life. He just doesn't want it to get in the way of our service to Him. He wants us to be responsible in those things. I think He put it within us to preserve and to survive that we take care of ourselves. But He doesn't want it to cross the line where pretty soon that's taking preeminence over service to Him. And it's easy to get ourselves in a place where we say, I serve the Lord, but in reality, most of our focus is to serve ourselves. I wanted to consider Christ's service here quickly. In the second chapter of Philippians, and you don't need to turn there, but the Scripture said that, speaking of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And what that means is that
that Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God when Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. He didn't believe that he was taking something that didn't belong to him, claiming something, stealing something away that wasn't his to have by claiming that you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. He recognized, you've seen me, you've seen God. You count us as equivalent. And yet, even though he was as God, the scripture said, he took upon himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and made himself in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself to the very ones that he created.
I have an idea. If I were in those shoes,
my sense of justice meter would be like pinging in the red. Whoa, wait a minute. I created them. Why should I have to be a servant to the ones I created?
But he did. And he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Because he looked out and he saw a plan that was so much bigger than the cross that he was going to have to hang on.
He looked on the other side of the cross. He didn't fixate on the cross, but he looked on the other side and he saw the joy that was out there. He saw a redemption for us. He saw a bride that could be won to himself, the church of God. If he'd be willing to willingly spread out his hands and be nailed to the cross.
What an example of service when he had so many reasons that he could have done otherwise. But he didn't. And because of this, we have been given the opportunity to serve the God of all creation. Thank God. We've been given the opportunity to be partakers of His grace and His strength and His power that we don't have. He's made the Canaan land available for us. Why? Because he was willing to go a little farther. He was willing to serve. He was willing to humble himself. He was willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Are we willing to say that today? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I'm willing to go a little farther. When it seems like I've reached the end, and I know I'm going to do this. Jesus felt that. He didn't want to go to the cross if there was some other way. He asked three times, Lord, if there's a way for this cup to pass from me, Lord, is there some other way? This doesn't look pleasant. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The Lord wants us to see a plan that is so much bigger than ourselves. He wants us to look beyond the crosses that we may carry. The Lord wants us to be able to look out and see the wonderful, beautiful plan of salvation, where if we'll all be willing to serve as He wants us to serve, we'll be willing to fill our places, even if it's not comfortable for us all the time. If we're willing to eat the things that don't always taste good to us. If we'll be willing to do that and get our eyes open to the masterful, beautiful salvation plan of God, that there's such a wonderful result and blessing that comes from that. Are we willing today? Are we willing to serve? Are we willing to say, Lord, count me in? Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to lay my way down. Lord, I want a pleasant noise to be coming from my life. Lord, I want you to hear something that's pleasant. And this morning, in conclusion, I just wanted to make mention of maybe three things to be challenged and encouraged with in serving the Lord. Practical application. Did you know that the only way to serve somebody in the right way is to know who it is you're serving?
How do we serve a God we don't know? How do we expect to understand what God wants from us when we're out going and filling all of our time doing whatever it is we want to do? The only way that I'm going to know how to serve like I ought is to give myself to understand my Lord, my Master. To spend some time understanding, Lord, what is it that you're trying to tell me? Lord, what does the Word of God say? Spend time in prayer, talking to the one that we're serving, meditating, listening. Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Not allowing our plate to be so consumed with all of the things that this world has to fill our plate with, many of which aren't even sin. And give the Lord space in our lives. I can't serve the Lord if I don't know who it is, if I'm not acquainted with Him, if I don't understand and listen to what it is He's trying to tell me. Be encouraged this morning. Make room for Jesus Christ in your life. Spend time reading, praying, meditating, asking for His Spirit to lead and to guide you. Number two, service to God involves serving others. It would be really convenient if I say, well, I'm serving God. Anyway, it's just all, I'm serving God. But we never look out and realize that service to God means service to other people. He wants us to be a representative of Him going out to be a help and a light to the world. What does our service to other people look like? It takes time. It takes energy. It takes resources. You've heard the saying that says, show me your checkbook and show me your calendar and I'll show you your heart. Well, there's some truth to it. Something to consider. And thirdly, folks, service to God involves self-denial. It just does. We sometimes I feel like that we live trying to figure out how we can serve the Lord with the least amount of self-denial. I have. It involves self-denial. And if we can get to the place where we accept it and say, yes, Lord, I mean, I'm willing. Lord, I want to do that. I want to take up whatever cross it is that you have put in front of me. If there's very little self-denial, folks, there's likely very little service that's taken place with God. I think all of us this morning would like to be able to say that we're serving God with all of our hearts. I think we're trying to do that. We want to do that. The Lord's not here trying to beat us over the head and saying, you're not doing good enough. Pick it up. But He does bid us come. He bids us come a little closer. He bids us to come and understand His way a little bit more. He has blessings for us that maybe we haven't experienced yet because we're not willing to serve like He wants us to serve. We serve a wonderful God today. The Lord is good. He's merciful. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. He is worthy this morning to be served. Let's ponder these thoughts with an honest and open heart. Lord, is there something, is there a place in my life that I can offer up to you a more pleasant sounding noise? A song, Lord, that you would be more pleased with that comes out of my life. He is a worthy God to serve. I want to be faithful. The Lord will be faithful to us. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.